basically, what's the mission of the organization?
The mission statement is to end the book famine in Africa. And we've been around for 25 years, and our mission is to flood Africa as with many books as possible. We send books to kids from kindergarten to university-level schools and libraries in every country in Africa. There are no books in Africa for the most part. There are. But when I traveled to Africa, to Tanzania, I went to rural Tanzania. I'd worked for Books for Africa for 3 years before I actually went. And when you work there, it sounds, it's a great company, it's a great mission, and it's a great project. But until you actually see, when you go to school and you got 60 kids in a classroom, all in their uniforms, and the teacher's up there with chalk and they're just learning from memorization, there's no books. So our mission is to try to get as many books to those schools as possible.
I'm guessing that most of the books donated in this country, in the U.S., are in English. And I'm thinking, well, the first question I have is you've got school kids or young children in Africa who maybe not don't speak English. How do you get beyond that?
Most of the kids that are in Africa that are going to school know English, and they're learning English. If you go to school there and you try to check a book out of the library, it's going to say you can only ask for the book in English. As of this month, we've sent 28 million books to Africa.
Over a 25-year period.
Yep. And it's ramped up. Right now we're sending about 3 million books a year.
And what kind of books are you sending? Just textbooks or novels?
We send K through 12 textbooks, leisure reading books. Then in the college level, we send anything you'd find in college. Typically, some of them are still brand new. Nothing over 20 years old gets sent. And they're all in excellent condition. Anything that isn't sent, we recycle. And we're a green organization. We've saved the landfill probably, as we've sent 28 million books, we've probably saved the landfill 40 million books. Because school districts, colleges tend not to do anything with their books but landfill them. It's too much work to get them to the recycler. So everything that we recycle comes back to us in our boxes. All our recycling turns into our boxes.
And the donors include individuals, but if you're sending brand new books, textbooks, you've got publishing companies are donating as well.
Yes, we work with World Vision, which donates brand new books from Houghton Mifflin, Harcourt. Then we also work with Better World Books, which is based out of Alpharetta. And they're our primary source for post-secondary books. And we probably get 20 semis a year from them. And, they do a buyback on campuses. And anything they can't resell online, they donate to us. They're also one of our biggest monetary sponsors as well. And then Follett Education Services out of Chicago, which is a major player for most schools, districts all across the country, supplies us with most of our K through 12 books. They probably supply us 50 semis a year, and we have a 50,000 square foot warehouse, 30,000 on one side, 20 on the other, and it's pretty full.
I was looking on your website, and you've got a map of Africa, and you can put your mouse over different countries to see what the projects are involved in each country. And I noticed there are several countries on the map, mainly in North Africa, that apparently don't have much of a connection. I'm wondering, are there some nations in Africa that are not that receptive to receiving books from the U.S.?
I don't know that they're not receptive to receiving books. It's just that we haven't infiltrated that part yet. We recently got a grant from OPEC. So we started sending books to Morocco and to Egypt. But if you look at the numbers, they're small just because we haven't gotten in there that much yet, and it's a lot about connections, and it's also about what's going on in those countries probably too. I think Ghana is one of our biggest recipients of books, Liberia, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Nigeria. We want to get them everywhere, especially in rural areas as well.
Shipping books to Africa, we use sea containers mostly, right?
Yep, we use land sea containers, 40-foot containers. We ship 8 to 10 a month. I think it's United Way just reported that after 4 years in Atlanta, we're the top volunteering spot, I guess you'd say, for volunteers to come. We have anywhere from 40 to 100 volunteers every day.
The logistics of shipping books to Africa, and then once they're unloaded at a port,
right?
Then you've got to get them to the schools. You must have an amazing distribution operation. You've got to have organization. Part of the organization exists in Africa that helps you out, or do you contract with other individuals or groups?
We have expediting services that take care of getting the books from, Atlanta to Savannah or Charleston. We ship out from there to Africa. When the books actually arrive in Africa, what typically happens is the recipient will come to the port in a truck and come get the books and bring them to their village. Sometimes they'll contract people to bring the whole container to the village or city or whatever. Then they'll unload them, and the container will go back to port. Sometimes they'll buy the container. I've seen it where they bought the container, and they can turn the container into a library. They'll cut windows into it, put drop-down shelves. There's your library.
The cost of sending thousands and thousands of books every year to Africa, I mean, how much money are we talking about?
The cost typically for a 40-foot container is on average about $10,000, and that's 41,000 pounds of books. I don't like to say exactly how many books are in that container, because if you're sending, you know, pre-K library books, and most of it's Dora the Explorer or something, and board books, they're going to be 40,000 books. But if you're sending post-secondary science and engineering, there might be 10,000 books. So I tell people it's 40,000 books. On average, it's $10,000 to get it from Atlanta to wherever it's going in Africa. That breaks down to about $23 per 70-pound box, and you can't send a 70-pound box across the street for that money. So we're very efficient. We're the lowest-cost shipper of donated, you know, books to Africa.
And you're branching out into computers now, too.
Yes, we work with the Minnesota State Penitentiary Maximum Facility Lockup in Stillwater. And the folks there refurbish computers for us and other schools. We're not the only place that gets them, but that portion of our operation is growing. They refurbish computers, put Pentium 4 processors, Netscape, Word, they're wireless. And we buy them for roughly $150, and then we just sell them to the recipients for the same price we get them for. And it's becoming more popular. And we also send brand new dictionaries and encyclopedia sets from Compton's and World Book.
Have you received any pushback, criticism maybe, that this is just an American attempt to propagandize the younger generation in Africa?
Not really. Education is education. If you're teaching a child second grade math, kids learning second grade math. I mean, there's no political agenda in math, and there's no political agenda in science. Maybe there is, but I can't think of one. And we have guidelines. We don't send anything ethnocentric to the United States. We don't send any U.S. history. We do not send U.S. government books. We don't send Dr. Phil. We don't send the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or anything like that. So we have guidelines for what books cannot go.
So how do you measure success? Do you have numbers to back this up, or is it just anecdotally? You know, you can talk about this school, they got this many books, and the kids are smiling. I mean, but you know what I mean. How do you measure? How do you measure if it has been an effective way to educate kids?
Actually, measuring that type of measurement is difficult in Africa. It's difficult to get reporting from Africa. But I guess on some measure, success is people keep ordering books. And you see, I mean, this will be my own hypothesis, but take Liberia. It's one of our places where we've donated more books than any place else. They have had a successful government, first female president in the world, reelected. And, you know, it could be because the populace is becoming more educated, and we have a hand in that by shipping them books.
Obviously, after 25 years, BFA is really a big success. You've got a lot of people volunteering. What remains your biggest challenge right now?
Our biggest challenge, we have the books. If you come to our warehouse, you're going to see books bulging out the doors. We have volunteers. Our biggest challenge is donations, money to get the books to Africa. I mean, we do have folks, like kids will come back from the Peace Corps and they'll want to donate books to Africa, but they can only raise $5,000 to $10,000. If we had more money coming in, we could top that off and send the books to Africa. So a lot of it's, you know, just awareness. We've been in Atlanta for 4 years as well, and you know, I don't think many folks know we're here, and we're working on that right now. In the Midwest, everybody knows us. We've been around there for, you know, 21 years. So everybody knows they're there, from Chicago to the Dakotas to Iowa, everywhere. We get books from everywhere. Darren Sharper was our spokesperson there, who's now a saint. So we're really looking for that. I'd love to have some of the celebrities in Atlanta or somebody hook in with us and be our spokesperson, and there's plenty here. I think it's just a matter of getting the word out so people actually do know we're here.
And for more information, for people who want to get involved, the best way to get a hold of you guys?
The best way is to go to booksforafrica.org. They can contact us, and all the information is on that website. And I would recommend that people go to the BFA videos and look at the 2012 video. It really explains what happens from start to finish when the books are shipped from the warehouse to the time they get to the recipient. And as this is our 25th year anniversary, we are having a volunteer appreciation. And it's kind of like an open house volunteer appreciation. As I had no idea when I moved to Atlanta 4 years ago that the volunteerism would be so over the top here. I mean, it's been outstanding. And so we're giving back to the community, giving back to our volunteers by having this party. So we're going to have African food from Fad Restaurant and DJ Mascot, a Nigerian DJ who's really good. It's going to be there and face painting and music, food. It's from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, April 20. Should be fun. Come on out.
Brad Madsen is Development and Operations Officer with Books for Africa here in Atlanta. Brad, thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having us.